All right, well, we are in the book of Psalms. We started that 2 weeks ago. We went through Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 because they're the instructions on how to go through the book of Psalms, and that is realizing that God wants to have a relationship with us personally, and he wants us to have a relationship together with him as well, coming together, encouraging one another. But today, we're actually going to turn to chapter 23, or Psalm 23, the 23rd song of this songbook. We describe the book of Psalms as a big songbook. And there are a lot of different ways that we could teach Psalms 23. We could preach it, and that is laying out the 3 points that there's a shepherd, there's a guide, and there's a host. And we could capitalize on that. There is a way that we could go through the book, through the chapter, and say, let's just read each phrase. So the Lord is my shepherd. And you talk about what that means, right? And give a one-word description. Crystal showed me, there's a little lady who goes through the 23rd Psalm. And if you want to watch it, I would get with Crystal and see it. It's really good. It'll take all of 30 seconds to say everything that we're going to go through in 45 minutes. Oh, really? So I was a little bummed. So we could do it that way, but then we'd be out in like 10 more minutes, which would be fun. So maybe after class, if you don't get anything, maybe we'll go Crystal's route and we'll get one word answers, which would be good. So we could look at all of these psalms in phrases. But one of the things that I really liked when I was going through the chapter and was trying to figure out how to teach it and what why to teach it too, right? 23rd Psalm is probably the most familiar psalm. We could probably all quote it out of whatever version that we learned it in. And that's great because there's so many blessings all the way through this psalm. But what we're going to do is I have put a bunch of words on the board. Each of these words relate to something inside of each one of these verses inside Psalms. And so we're going to put a definition to each one of these words. And the purpose of that is because sometimes when we read our Bible, we gloss over the Lord is my shepherd, right? Well, what does that mean? What does the word Lord mean? What does the word shepherd mean? And what I would like for us to do at the end of this, as and we've got some paper up here, if you need some pens, we can find pens. We'd like to take some notes and put definitions beside the words that we have on the board. And then in our own words, we're going to reread Psalm 23. Not necessarily using the words that the Bible has in front of us, because we're going to read that too, and I think that's important. Oh, that's the Bible. But reading them for the words that we have defined. So I've put the first one up on the screen, or up on the board, and that is Lord. To me, the word Lord means the one who reigns with supreme authority. You want to pass these papers out? There's some pens in the back, too, if anybody needs a pen. I just find that that's a very good description of the word Lord. It allows us to make more of what his name actually is and what it means. So is that okay with everybody? We go kind of go through it this way? And what we're going to do at the end, we'll read Psalm 23 together as it is. Go around and we'll just take turns reading a verse. And the next person, if you'd like, to read a verse. But then I want to go through and define what all of these words mean. And then with these definitions that we write up on the board and what you write on your paper, at the end, we'll reread Psalm 23 with these words in the place of where we find them. Does that help? Okay. The idea here is almost being able to take Psalm 23 and pray it, not just saying the words Lord and Shepherd, but using words that we use every day and making it more personal when we speak and talk about it. So I'll begin verse 1, and then we'll go around the room, take the next verse. If you don't like to read, just pass it on to the next person. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3.
He restores my faith, my life, and he leads me along the right paths for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Very good. So the first word that I've asked for us to define is the word Lord. And I wrote that on the board, the one who reigns with supreme authority. It's a word that I have defined that way for a very long time. Anytime I've spoke all the way through Proverbs, anytime in Philippians, anytime I've ever said it, that's how I've always defined that, the word Lord. The next word on the board is shepherd. So I'm going to ask you, what is a shepherd, or what does a shepherd do?
I think shepherd is like, because David was a shepherd, he took care of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He protects the sheep, and I think a shepherd protects the stock, or protects
the protector.
Caretaker.
Not the Undertaker. That's a different one. I saw the smiles and the laughs.
Another good one.
Would you also include the word caregiver?
I mean, it's kind of like being a parent. You have all responsibility for every aspect of care and protection over someone.
Like a parent. Good. So how about the word want? What does the word want mean?
I want it. Something that I dream.
Crave.
Thank you.
Or desire.
A desire?
That's it.
I think it's I think here the context is more of a innate, what do I need, right? What, is there anything that I actually need, right? Spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every way, shape, or form, right? Just beyond what we desire, but.
Okay, so a need?
Kind of a feeling to want to feel love or whatever.
Okay. Kind of a feeling?
It is more spiritual, though, I think, than just physical, because we all have one still.
Right.
They're never going to go away.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Spice Girls.
All right. So verse 2 and 3. It begins with, he makes me. What does it mean to make? He makes me.
I think it's again like a parent, right? He knows what's good for me. If it's time for me to lie down, he makes me lie down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's kind of like inspire. It's not like, you must lie down now. It's more like, okay, he makes me aware of what I need, right?
Almost like a cause.
Yes.
A cause to do something. He causes me. An inspiration. Almost like he's preparing. He prepares.
Because the pastures were green. He's not taking you to the desert.
Right.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes with the shepherd because he's leading them. He's making them. So if someone's making you do something, maybe it's for a greater good, or it can even go back to the Lord with his authority. I think that's what it really is.
So it's almost like requiring you.
Yeah.
He requires me.
I don't want that. Do they eat grass? I don't know.
To make you do something almost like a requirement, right? What did you say?
Do they eat grass? I don't know. Do they eat grass?
Who, angels?
No, sheep.
Yeah.
So,
they graze.
To the green pasture instead of the desert where there's nothing.
Yeah.
I think if we...
Okay. I was going to say, I like Cody's word lead for makes me.
Right. Yeah, I agree, because... Sometimes, I mean, especially if you kind of go to the end of the verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Any kid does not want to take a nap. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so
he requires you to.
He helps you understand the need to do things. When it says makes me, he's like, and it's not even that he's convincing you. It's just, you know, hey, you really need to rest. You know, it's... Mm-hmm. It's kind of going back to that parent thing of, you know, he's making sure you understand that this is something that you need that you don't realize you do.
Right. Isn't it interesting if we look at this as a phrase, and this is why this exercise, I understand, is a little confusing and difficult, because we want to look at them as total phrases rather than look at them as words. But if you do look at this phrase, where it says, he leads me, or he makes me lie down in green pastures. I like breaking these words down. He requires me, what's another word for lying down?
To be calm.
Surrender.
Calm, rest, calm, surrender, rest. In green pastures, what are green pastures?
Safe places.
Very good.
Thank you, because I did not know that.
Safe place.
So it makes me takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, so
when you look
you look at it from just the words, defining each one of these words, and then replacing those words that are, he makes me, look at this and say, he inspires me or causes me to surrender and calm down, to rest in a safe place, in a green, lush, beautiful place. He makes me, and what does that say about us when we read, he makes me lie down in a beautiful place? Because now I don't want to. I'm constantly on the move of, I'm full of chaos, right?
That's me too.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's like, I don't really even think it means makes me. Because if he doesn't say 10 o'clock time to go to bed.
No, I don't think it's like that. But he requires us.
Everybody has to have rest time.
Yeah, he requires us to have that rest.
Yeah. You're in these green pastures for that reason to rest.
Correct. Yeah, it's not a time frame.
I think he reveals the need. Mm-hmm. He reveals to us what we need, right?
Yeah.
He didn't make us, but he reveals.
Good.
And even for shepherd, he could be, he could even put teach. Because he's teaching us maybe I look at it a little different, but he's teaching us and requires of us to lie down, to surrender.
Yeah. So what does it mean to lead? He leads me. What does it mean to lead?
Show. Like he's showing something.
Show?
To be done.
Yeah. So. He shows me?
Shows me.
Anything else?
Guidance
is a good one.
Yeah. Guides. And what are still waters?
Calm is the drink.
Calm.
What did you say, Lester?
Drink or refreshment.
Well, water doesn't get looked on as the life-giving.
Yep.
So if it's still water, it's safe and soothing and even more nourishing.
H2O.
Good. What does it mean to restore?
Well, remember.
To restore?
Renew.
Oh, thank you.
Renew. Fix, repair,
it's like recharging your battery. You're worn out and you use it up. It's not like you need to be fixed, you're not broken. You just need to recharge.
There you go.
Like revitalize.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Make them work, you know.
Good. Revitalize.
Make a great window.
I'd make a good window. So what is the soul? He restores my soul. What is the soul?
Like your inner being.
Inner being.
Your heart.
Yeah.
It could be your spiritual.
That's the one I was going to.
My exhaustion is not the right word, but you need to be replenished spiritually too, right? If you work in a bad environment, or you know the world gets you down, you need to be revitalized, not just physically but spiritually.
Yeah. Good.
Well, and that the soul, I think, is where the spirit resides, as we've talked about. So if that place is in chaos, and he knows it, and he always does.
He restores that.
That peace, it's very important.
Yes.
For that.
Good. So, also in verse 3, we have the word guide. What does it mean to guide?
Kind of like the one leads.
Kind of like a lead. Yep.
Makes me.
Makes me. Anything else?
Teaches.
Good. All right, so let's put on our thinking caps and say, what does it mean to be righteous?
Ooh.
Or what is the words? What are the words it says in verse 3? He guides me in the paths of righteousness. What is righteousness?
Doing right.
Right or wrong?
Obedience.
Obedience. Just so you know, I can't spell that word unless I sing the song. So you're going to sing the song to spell the word obedience?
I don't know the song.
Obedience. 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 the very best way to show that you believe. Anyway, that's not perfect, but yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
We did that in Bible school.
Yeah.
Anything else for righteous?
So it's made right.
Made right, yeah.
Made complete, I guess.
Made complete. I've often heard it described as a right standing before God. When we are righteous, we have a right standing before God, meaning we are allowed, we are worthy to stand before a holy God. All right, so let's define this last word in verse 3, his name. And in context, what does it say? He says, for his name's sake. That's our context.
Yahweh.
Do what?
Yahweh.
Okay. Not necessarily his name.
But is it his nature that everything he's showing us is how to be like him?
Okay.
So I have my little thing here. I love this. It says, for his name's sake, the shepherd guides the sheep with an overarching view to the credit and glory of the shepherd's own name. So it's kind of like a reflection of the shepherd.
Good. A reputation. Reputation or a reflection?
When we talk about that in related to people, it would be his namesake would be your son.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Good. Does anybody else need more paper? Okay. So let's define a few words from verse 4. Walk. What does it mean to walk?
To go.
Proceed. To go. If I'm walking in this direction,
you're walking straight.
Yeah.
Follow forward.
Follow. I'm forward.
Forward.
It's really just your daily life. It's
daily life?
I think the walk almost reflects like an endurance.
Okay.
I guess through the valley, right?
Endurance? Well, let's not get there yet.
I think it's just living.
But it's living.
Movement.
Yeah. Movement. I even looked at it as the word walk is to go somewhere with purpose. Right? You can walk aimlessly. Right? We can walk around in circles and not go anywhere. But this is kind of describing a walk with purpose. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm going somewhere with a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Whether you like the purpose or not.
Whether you like it or not. So now we get down to the valley and the shadows. What are these?
Are we separating those two? Or just
they're kind of all in that same category. The valley, the shadow of death. What are those?
Valley kind of implies you're down somewhere inside something that may be hard to get out of. Mm-hmm. Might be dark, scary, fearful.
Fearful.
We have fear next.
Okay.
So we'll wait for that. Would you say these are the hard things?
Yeah. Oh, I kind of like valley and shadow. It's kind of like stuff that's hard to deal with. Even though I walk through the valley and shadow of death, I feel no evil. So that's kind of like one of the confident verses. So it's kind of things, a hard things to deal with. So kind of like grief and stuff.
Yeah.
So the shadow could be like grief or some
tribulation.
Tribulation. Thank you. That's not a strong couple.
How about the word struggles?
That's it. There we go.
Tribulations. That's a big word in church. Usually means the struggles that we go through, the hardships, the difficulties.
I think it also means pre-death.
What?
I think it also means pre-death.
Yeah.
Predestination.
And of course we're...
No death.
Well, it says... We're in that all the time.
I think it's the shadow of death. I think it's just sin. It's the world. We're in a sinful world. That's what... The valley and the shadow of death is the sinful world.
Sinful world? Good.
Testing.
Testing? So let's talk about this word fear. First of all, let's ask this question. Is it a noun? Is fear being used as a noun, an adjective, or a verb?
This is English class.
I know, it's like English. Is this fear describing something, or is this fear as an action?
Action. I think it's an action verb.
I will fear. It's an action.
Yeah.
It's because
I fear.
I fear. So like you were saying, some like pretense, I fear this. So it's like kind of an emotion and action.
Okay. So then let's describe fear. How would you describe fear?
Action, being afraid.
Afraid of something.
Good. Action, being afraid. Scared. Anything else?
Fight everything and rise. And then some of the acronyms.
Yeah.
I think about the physical traits of when you're in fear. You know, sometimes you tremble, sometimes you sweat, sometimes you cry and shake. Yeah.
Shake.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Do what?
Blood pressure goes up, heart rate goes up, adrenaline goes up.
Right. So what does the word with describe? And you can use the dictionary on the phone, but what does the word with?
Accompany me.
Good.
Accompaniment.
Accompany?
Is there a song on how to spell that?
Yeah, please.
Accompany?
Together.
Together. I describe it like, I like to sit with Crystal on the couch, which means I'm sitting beside.
That's kind of how Adam and Eve, when they went in the garden too, he was with Eve.
Yeah, he was beside her. Yeah. You guys are doing great. I hope it makes sense at the end.
And we're going to take it from 6 verses to about 20.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of what happens, right? So what are the rod and the staff?
It's kind of like when Moses used.
Yeah.
To crack open the water, he used his rod and his staff.
Okay.
It's kind of like a walking stick.
Okay.
Or something. Just guessing.
Yeah, it's a walking stick. What's it used for?
It's for like to like guide you and stuff like that. It's kind of like.
Shepherds use it to keep the sheep out of any harm.
That's Liam. Yeah.
Hello, sir. Sure. Welcome back.
Hi.
Psalm
23.
Holy cow! I've been seeing you forever.
You could use them to stay warm.
Very
precise.
Okay.
It's almost like a protection or a tool.
Yeah.
Protection.
Oh,
I liked your word stabilized too.
Stability.
Yeah.
Guide and discipline.
Discipline.
And gives you support.
I like that, support.
Support?
Security.
There you go. That's a good one.
I was thinking, why do people carry weapons? It's for security.
Yeah. It's when they, you know, when the sheep knows he's going to protect me because he's got whatever tool he has for security. So what does comfort, how would you describe comfort?
Comfort for me is you at peace, you at ease for a moment.
Okay.
Feel good.
Tranquility.
So we have feel good, peace, tranquility. Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Just put peace.
Tranquility.
It's spelled my way. It's right. I'm the teacher.
I think that's how I spelled it too.
You did.
Two against one, it works.
Looks good from here. It works if you
want. So now we're down to verse 5. And again, we're just defining words, trying to figure out how we would describe this to someone. So, prepare. What does it mean to prepare?
Get ready.
Get ready.
Study.
Okay. In the context that he's preparing a table, what is that? What kind of action are we doing there?
Well, it could be building a table.
Okay.
It could be cooking.
I'm talking my language.
Would you be
hospitality?
Hospitable.
Hospitality. Good. What does it? What does? How would you describe the word presence? Not gifts.
Oh.
But presence, like we are all in the presence of one another.
So like we're already there, it's already happening.
Okay.
Is that, well, that's presence, present, it's with T. So that's a gift.
So when we look at it in the context of the sentence, he is preparing the table in the presence of mine enemies.
Awareness.
So what does it mean, awareness?
Around, with, kind of with, beside them.
In sight of?
Yeah.
But.
So then in verse 5, what does it mean to anoint?
Does that mean to make holy?
So, kind of. So what would happen? Yeah. So what would happen is to anoint someone with oil is to recognize or give them a blessing.
So I read
a
whole thing on Psalm 23 one time, and this piece stuck with me. So evidently, when the shepherd is taking care of their sheep, they would anoint, I don't know if it was their nose or whatever, someplace on their face, I believe it was their nose, with a particular oil, because as they were eating their grass, there's a particular type of bug or critter or whatever that could reach up and either bite them or, you know, something, do something to their face. But if they had that oil on their face, then they couldn't do that for whatever reason. I don't remember all the particulars, but I thought it was
it kind of goes back to the restoration too, because it would be almost like a healing. They could use it for like a healing.
Yeah, exactly.
Anointing
the
wound of.
Yeah, if they did get bit, it could, you know. But yeah, it was a whole thing that, you know, it was part of that protection and care.
Okay, so we have blessing, lift up, protection, healing.
Set apart.
The kings were anointed. Christ was his anointed.
Yeah.
Kind of like the righteousness. Like the righteous.
Setting them apart, being something different, right?
Made right, almost.
So what does it mean to overflow?
Abundance.
Abundance. Good.
I put dry overflow.
Put what?
Dry overflow. I thought that said dry overflow, but it said overflow.
Overflow.
I thought that said.
Cannot be contained.
Good. Cannot be contained. I really like that.
Yeah.
So the next, we're down to verse 6. And we just have three more to go. We have goodness, mercy. Some of our translations use the word love.
Loving kindness.
How would you describe those concepts? Goodness, mercy, goodness, loving kindness.
Goodness, kindness, and loving mercy.
Right? It's hard to come up with definitions of them, right?
Goodness would be like
compassion.
Blessings.
Good. Or love. Maybe we could just use that word. Blessings.
My commentary says steadfast love.
Okay. A specific love. Steadfast. What does steadfast mean?
Good question.
What does the word steadfast mean?
Reliable, unmoving.
Reliable, consistent.
Yeah, so let's use that word. A reliable love.
Excuse me. My commentary says the use of both mercy and goodness together describes God's loyal love intensifies the meaning of the word. And it's intense love and mercy.
Intense, loyal.
So which mercy, which one is it? Because I always get grace and mercy backwards. But grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. And mercy is...
What?
Justice that you don't deserve.
Do what?
Justice that you don't deserve.
Right.
Or undeserved. Would it be? You're getting something that you don't deserve regarding justice anyway.
Right. Yeah. I just think it's interesting that they use that word there. You're getting something you don't deserve.
It's kind of, well, grace would be like the getting something you don't deserve as well, right? And the mercy would be something, getting something that you deserve.
Yeah, not getting what you really should have happened. We deserve death because we've sinned, but instead God says, nah, different plan.
Trust in me.
Yeah.
So what does it mean then to follow?
Obey.
Good.
Yes.
Obey.
Seek after.
Good, I like that one. Seek after.
Trust.
Good, trust. Has this idea of coming behind?
It kind of is a role of leading a little bit because you're kind of teaching the person how to be in the front, or you're following along to make sure they're going the right way.
You can maybe lead that way, yeah. And finally, what does it mean to dwell?
Reside.
Live.
Live under the protection of?
Sure.
Live under protection.
I think we have the wrong meaning, though, of follow. Because we're not talking about us. We're talking about goodness and mercy. Following.
So they will come behind us?
Follow behind us. Because you're doing right.
Okay.
I'd say it'd be like a constant, almost. Like you're constant. Maybe like insight or understanding.
Maybe it's more, is it more like a consequence? Kind of like
yeah.
We studied in Proverbs?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's a good catch.
Consequence or reward? Good.
Insert book of Proverbs.
Proverbs. That's the word follow. Okay, so we've made it through this list of words.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot. But now, let's try to use, instead of the word Lord, in place of each one of these words, let's read one verse at a time. And let's read, instead of the Lord, shepherd, and want, in verse 1, we're going to read the one who reigns with supreme authority, a protector, or pick one of these definitions, and in place of the word want, use one of these descriptions. Who would like to start? Verse 1.
Well, I drink glass, so maybe Tom can start.
Okay. The one who reigns with supreme authority is my protector. My soul will lack nothing. My soul will crave nothing.
Okay. How about verse 2?
Makes me expire. Inspire.
Was it not expire? That would be dead.
Inspire, my bad. Inspire, and then I can't read my writing.
So let's do it this way. Let's look at the verse.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let's look at the verse. And the verse says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So let's read it this way. He inspires me to surrender and calm and rest in a safe place. He shows me where to be calm and where to drink and to have refreshment. And he renews and he revitalizes my innermost being spiritually. I think if David were writing today, it would be like that, right?
Wow.
The reason why we break down each one of these words is so that we can actually see what these words mean in our words, right? When we read Psalm 23, it's very easy to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that even mean? It means the one who reigns with supreme authority is my protector. He's my caregiver. I don't crave, desire, I have no need for anything else. Right? This is why we go through all this exercise of finding out these words. In verse 3, it says, He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He repairs, revitalizes my innermost being spiritually. And He teaches me how to obey, how to be right, how to be made complete. Because it's a reflection of Him. It's His reputation. And He's teaching me how to be like Him. In verse 4, it says this, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does it say? Even though I go forward, I endure, I walk with purpose through the dark, the hard times, the struggles, death, even in the sinful world, all the testings that I endure. It says, I have no need to be afraid. By my place. It says, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. I won't be scared of the evil that is around about me. For you are with me. We are together. You are beside me. Your protection and stability, the discipline, and the security that you offer, they give me peace. They help me feel good. I can be tranquil in tranquility. Verse 5, it says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. By our definitions, we say you are preparing, you are getting ready, you are building, you are presenting an awareness in the sight of my enemies. You are preparing this table. You lift me up, you provide a blessing, you protect me, you set me apart. And my cup overflows, or my cup is abundant. Your blessings cannot be contained that you provide to me. Verse 6 says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and love. Resist this intense, surely this intense love, this reliable love, this loyal blessing that you provide to me will follow me. It will be the consequence. It will be my reward all the days of my life. And I will live under your protection in the house of the one who reigns with supreme authority forever. Isn't that awesome? When we take a little bit of time, and I know it's a song, and it's a whole lot easier to say it the way David did.
Can you sing it now?
No. No, right? I don't know. But when we take the time to, each one of these songs are altogether different, and it's hard to, so we could have just taken this as phrases, right? You could take this song as a bunch of phrases and assign a word. Breaking down the words, make them to me, they were very meaningful. It made Psalm 23 look different than what I've looked at it in the past.
I really like this exercise. I think there's certain verses that we tend to over-memorize, and then we forget to stop and think about what they really mean. Right?
Yeah.
And even when we think we're stopping and thinking about it, this is still a really good exercise.
Put a modern twist on it.
Makes them alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes the words come alive. In our language.
Right.
Right.
think in today's world, when we read it this way, it doesn't make the world so scary. Because it's like, okay, a God that can do all of that. That's the person that cares for me every day and loves me. Yeah, I think he's got it. I don't need to panic, worry, any of those things.
It's easy for us to say words like, you know, God loves you. God really loves you. And God really loves me. And when you have some windshield time out your front car, out looking out the front of your car, or you've got window time when you're washing dishes or whatever it is, thinking about, oh yeah, God loves me. How much does God love us? Looking at breaking down this, he loves us a lot. And if we don't hear it enough, God loves us a lot. And I think that's the big thing I want us to make sure we take away from tonight. That this is just a bunch of encouragement tonight through Psalm 23.
I thought it was interesting, just because I'm strange, but I look at things backwards. So if you just go through it backwards, like, because I dwell, because I live under this protection, I can trust and have this intense love, you know, just look, be set apart. I don't know, just reading it backwards and with those words just seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, very good.
It's a good idea too.
Like I said, there's lots of different ways to look at a psalm, right? And I hope this was a fun exercise to close out our time together this year. Something to keep on going on. Next year we will begin, I don't remember what the date is, but second 7th. Week, this January 7th, we will begin a 15-week study through just taking a fly through the Bible. So I think we're going to actually order some of the books. And
do y'all want the book?
Do you want
it's
the books?
It's just a little tiny, I mean, it's like this big-ish, like
how
this.
How much are they?
No.
I found them on a website for as cheap as like $5 or $6. If you order them on Amazon, they're $10. I was just gonna, if folks wanted them, I was just gonna go.
$5 or $6 for 10 of them, or each?
$5 or $6 each. If you go on Amazon, they're $10 a piece. But
the church has a budget for things like this, for Sunday school material and things like that. So if you guys would like to go through that book together, we can do that.
I'll order some. If y'all think you want one. Some people are like, nah, you know.
I'm thinking nah.
I think it'd be pretty cool. Or do you plan on ordering any? Or have you already?
Yeah.
Or can you just do
it? We can. We were just going to ask first. Yeah.
Can you?
Raise your hand if you think you might
can you
want
get it
one.
Online where it's, so you don't have to have the paper? Or?
No. It's a book.
Yeah.
It's old fashioned.
Okay. So I was going to say, if you want one, I'll order. I was going to say.
All right. We'll order some.
I was going to say.
I'm a little upset because it's not here yet.
Well, you have until January 7th, so I think you're good. I'll order like, you know, half a dozen or so, whatever. Yeah, that way we have some. So
I shall not want.
Right.
I'll order in that.
All right, let's pray and we'll get on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the joy of your son coming this season, and that what we celebrate in the next few days is the birth of your son. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you provided a king many, many years ago to write a song about how much you do love us and how much you care for us and how much you are already there looking ahead and looking forward and protecting us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the evening. Bless us the rest of the year. Watch over those that are not here, and watch over those who we request. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fly by the seat of my pants. I'll order some and I'll have them.